Psalms chapter 4, we're going to consider just a thought or two out of this. Again, these have been days that many have struggled with, and a lot of folks are still uneasy about some things. My wife and I was at the store yesterday, and everybody was coming out wearing masks. And if you were going to rob a bank, right now would be the time to do it, because everybody's wearing masks. They wouldn't be able to identify you. And you just look like everybody else. But we're living in a time where folks, a lot of folks are scared. It's a scary time. And again, the events of the past few weeks have caused me to think about a lot of things, to consider some truths and some things. And to be honest with you, I've thought some thoughts I never thought I would ever think. What are we coming to? What's going to be the end result of this? Are people going to get used to sitting at the house? And I really think they are. I think we're going to see, after this is all said and done, there are going to be people that normally attended churches are going to be sitting at the house. And I'm not a conspiratist, but I do believe there's an underlying effort to try to minimize the work of God. And I'm not blaming anyone. We know who ultimately is responsible for it. It's Satan himself. And but I've thought about some of these things. I've had some feelings that I've never had before. I don't hate anyone, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks moving up on the dislike list rapidly. And it seems as if we've got people in leadership positions that's not qualified to be there. And you wonder, how in the world did a person get to that place in society? And again, many around us are in a state of panic, not knowing what's going to happen next. And let me just tell you this. There's always going to be some type of bug that appears on the scene and that we know nothing of. It's going to happen all the time. Just part of life. It's the result of sin. Not sin necessarily in the life of an individual, but sickness came to this earth as a result of sin. However, for the child of God, and I hope all in this auditorium this morning have come to the place in your life that you know for certain, if you were to step into eternity, that heaven would be your home. For the child of God, we're able to sleep tight at night in scary times. David, in this passage here we're going to read, we'll read all 8 verses here. It's a short chapter. But David was running at this time from his son Absalom when he penned down these words here in this psalm. We'll begin reading in verse 1. The word of God says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. And be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Note that last verse there, the last part of that verse. That's the title we've selected for the message this morning. Lord, only for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. In spite of the terrible situation that David found himself in, he realized that God had placed gladness in his heart and made it possible for him to dwell in safety and able to sleep in peace at night. I want to tell you, that is a valuable thing if you're able to lay down at night and sleep in peace. Amen. I'm glad to know that God is in control. He's never lost control, nor will he ever lose control. I'm glad to know that God protects us and provides for us. And because of those facts, I can lay down at night and sleep in peace, understanding that God is able to protect, we can dwell in safety. It's interesting there, the word in verse 7, gladness means joy. It means elation. And literally, David's heart, he said he was smiling even though his heart was broken and even though he faced at this time a very great challenge. I'm glad that we can smile in the face of adversity. When things don't make sense or when we're not certain what the outcome's going to be, we can smile during those times. Remember a couple of things. We're going to get into the message in just a moment. I want to make a few remarks before we get into the heart of the message. But remember, joy can be experienced in spite of a negative or a discouraging situation. Sometimes it's difficult to smile, but joy can be experienced in spite of a negative or a discouraging situation. Gladness, understand this, gladness is not the result of external prosperity, but rather an internal peace. That's why some folks can at least give the impression that they're at peace and their heart is glad, they're joyful in their heart, even in the midst of a difficult situation. A few months ago, there was a lady that I visited many times at the hospital. She had been there over a year. There was never a time that I went into that room that lady didn't have a smile on her face. Now, her prognosis was not one that any of us would desire to have. She was dealing with stage 4 cancer. It was nothing that any of us would smile about, but there was never a time that I went into that room and said hello to this individual that she didn't encourage my heart. As a matter of fact, I told her that quite often. And she would say things like this, well, there's other people worse off than me. You don't have to come in here and say hi to me. I said, I come in here to say hi to you because of me, not you. I need encouraged. And understand gladness is not the result of external prosperity, but rather an internal peace. She would say this every time I'd leave the room. She'd say, well, if I don't see you next week, I'll see you in heaven one day. That's internal peace. Also, understand it was put there, this gladness, it was put there by God himself on purpose. Realize this morning, true joy is placed in our hearts by the Lord. It's not placed there by our surroundings. It's not placed there by our circumstance. It's not placed there by that which we receive. It's placed there by the Lord. And I believe, as believers, in spite of what's going on in our country today, in spite of those who are making decisions today, in spite of whatever we may be facing, I believe as Christians we can, as the verse says in verse 8, lay down in peace and sleep, for the Lord only makest me dwell in safety. I want to share just a thought or two on that verse this morning. We're going to pray and ask the Lord to help us understand these thoughts. And as we pray, let's certainly trust God to teach us and to lead us. And may we leave with our hearts encouraged. May we understand that all of us, as believers, we can enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Lord, we're certainly grateful for the peace that you give your children. And Lord, we're grateful for the safety you provide each of us. Lord, recognizing that ability to sleep and realizing the safety that we have nothing to fret. I pray today that you might instruct us again in the things you desire that we might know and lead us to the very place you desire that we might be. Lord, I pray you might use us this morning for your honor and glory. Lord, take from our minds and our lips things that are not important. Lord, remind us and encourage us and embolden us to say the things that are. We'll thank you for it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Give me three thoughts from this. And again, keep in mind the setting here. David is running because Absalom is wanting to overthrow and take the leadership position from his own dad. We would never expect that from children, but there are places or there are families and there are homes that are completely dysfunctional. David had a dysfunctional home. And but I want you to notice, first of all, here, as we begin to look at this, the cry of David. Go back, if you would, to verses 1 and 2. We read these verses. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing Selah? Now, as David stated earlier on, he found himself again on the run, running from his own son. This was a very difficult time. But David understood something, and this is something you and I need to understand. David understood the power of prayer. I want to say this morning, that's the most powerful tool we have when it comes to circumstance and situations. I heard a story this week about someone who took measures into their hands and it ended up not going well. We need to realize that God is able. We just need to talk to God about it. Again, David realized, he understand, he acknowledged the power of prayer. Note that word distress. It means to be in a tight place. You ever been in a situation where it seems like the walls are just coming in on you? I mean, it just seems like there's no tunnel or light at the end of the tunnel, and if there is, it's a train coming at you. It seems like the walls are just closing in and encircling us. But I want you to note what David said there. David was certainly in a bad situation. There were days and nights that he spent living in a cave. Can you imagine leaving the palace and taking residence in a cave? Not certain what's going to happen. Not certain what Absalom was up to. That's the life he was living. And no doubt, it would, at least to me, it would seem like the walls are just coming in on us. The sky's falling, the walls are coming in, and who knows what else is going to happen. By the way, don't say that. It can't get any worse. Yes, it can. Don't think for one second it can't get any worse. It can get a whole lot worse. You know, I was at the store the other day, and they was out of a lot of things, but they still had a lot of things on the shelf. They wasn't empty shelves, all of them. Amen. It may not be what we like. We may have to break down and eat some liver. Amen. I love liver. Amen. But I noticed there's plenty of liver in the cooler. There wasn't a whole lot of folks waiting for liver. A lot of folks trying to buy hamburger and chicken. It can always get worse. Don't think for a second that we've hit the bottom and nothing can get any worse than it is. It can always get worse. But I want you to note here what David said. Again there in verse number 1. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Notice here. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. In other words, David realized that God had put some space around him. The walls were not going to come in on him. The ceiling or the sky wasn't going to fall. He realized that God gave him room to breathe. And by the way, God does the same for you and I. He asked for mercy. Understand, mercy is God's compassion demonstrated toward those who at times are afflicted. And again, it's based not upon our merit, but according to what we need to survive during that time. I'm grateful for the mercy of God. I don't count it lightly, or I don't consider it a light thing that not an individual in this church has been affected by this virus. Not one. You say, well, we're living like hermits. Well, that's fine if you choose to do that. I'm not going to tell you to do any different. I'm not. I'm not wearing a mask, and I'm not sitting at home. You say, well, you may be asymptomatic. If I am, you're not going to catch it from me because I'm not sneezing or coughing because I have no symptoms. Amen. People are getting scared to death of this asymptomatic word. If you're asymptomatic, it means you have no symptoms. And unless you blow your nose on someone's shirt or you lick your hand and shake their hand, you're not going to pass it on. So quit worrying about it. You know, everybody's worried about it. They want to test everybody to see how many asymptomatic people there are. Thank God there's a bunch of asymptomatic people who's not sneezing on you or coughing on you or spitting on you. Now, if you're in our service, I would not sit on the first two rows in case I am asymptomatic. You're liable to catch something because I spit all the time when I preach. Oh, preacher, what are we going to do? We're going to trust the Lord. I'm going to say more about that here in just a moment. But David realized it was God that put space around him. The walls were not going to come in on him. And he realized and he pleaded for mercy. And he asked God to hear his prayer. Now, let me just say this before we move on. Understand, prayer has a way of calming the inner man. I mean, if you get all worked up, start praying. You'll be shocked how the outcome will be. Amen? You get all worked up and get all nervous, start praying. I read a story, and it's been some time ago, about a fellow got pulled over by the police, and he's a nervous wreck, and he'd heard the preacher say one time, you get nervous, start praying. He's praying, and officer's up there knocking on the window, I need your license and registration. And he said, officer, hang on a minute, I'm praying. And of course the officer was shocked. He'd never pulled anybody over and said that before. I don't know if this is true or not, but the story that I read said this: the officer was so impressed with this man's praying that he said, I'm going to give you a warning, be careful out there and have a good day. Now, I wouldn't advise you running down the interstate 100 mile an hour and when the state trooper comes to your window, bow your head and start praying, because you're going to jail. But when you get nervous, when things seem to be falling apart, when it seems as if the walls are circling in and the sky is falling and the floor is coming up against you, prayer has a way of calming the inner man. Prayer has a way of creating a peace in our heart. And so we note here the cry of David. Notice secondly, if you would, the commitment of David. Notice, if you would, in verses 3 through 5. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. I'll say more about that in just a moment. Selah, offer sacrifices of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. Now, I said a moment, we note here the commitment of David. We know very little about commitment today. Unless it's something we enjoy doing and we're committed totally to that. Amen? I mean, there's some folks, they're totally committed to their hobby. They spend thousands of dollars on it. They spend untold numbers of hours doing it. And my wife told me, it's been several years ago, she said, you got expensive hobbies. And I do. Fishing gear is not cheap if you buy the right kind of stuff. Or you buy the stuff that's not going to break. It'll last longer than a year. It's expensive. I don't play much golf. I'm not very good at it, so I stopped playing it. I get my money's worth because I can hit a golf ball for about a penny a shot. That's how many shots I take when I play golf. Not very good at it. You've seen folks find water with two sticks. You give me a golf ball and a club and I'll find somebody to spit on the sidewalk. I can find water. I can find the woods. I need a chainsaw and I need scuba gear in my golf bag. Golfing's expensive, but there are people who spend thousands of dollars on golf clubs and they're out there four and five times a week. By the way, it's not cheap to play. It's not like you put a quarter in a pinball machine. I mean, it's like $40 to go play a round of golf. It's expensive. If you, especially if you ride around one of them little buggies, golf carts, they're expensive. Expensive habits. There's a lot of people, they're committed to their hobby or their habits. And, you know, people, if you smoke, that's fine. That's your business. I think if God wanted to smoke, he'd have made us a chimney. Amen. $5 and $6 a pack for those things. How can you afford that stuff? And then you put a dollar in the offering plate. Hello? Yeah. Reason you can only put a dollar in the offering plate is because you've spent too much money on cigarettes and can't afford to tithe. You'll learn one day you can't afford not to tithe. Expensive hobbies and expensive habits. There's a lot of people committed to that. But commitment to the things of the Lord is something that's we know very little of today. But David understood that he was set apart for the Lord, and because of this, the Lord was going to hear his prayer. Again, notice what he said, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. That's the people God wants. Those who are godly, those who honor the Lord, those who take time to be holy. Those are the ones that God sets apart for himself. And because of this, the Lord would hear his prayer. Now I understand again the circumstance. Don't forget the situation we find here. David could have been bitter. He's no longer on the throne in the palace. He's on the run from his son, sleeping in caves. David could have got bitter. And David could have taken matters into his own hands with his son. No doubt there were many people who would say, well, if that's my son, I'd do this. By the way, don't give a whole lot of credence to talk like that. First of all, it's not their son, so don't worry about it. Amen. Well, if that was my boy, I'd jerk a knot in his head. Well, he's not, so you won't. Amen. Well, if that was happening to me, old David, this is what I'd do. Well, it's not happening to you, so don't worry about it. You know, advice is at times very cheap. People like to give it, don't they? Until the shoe's on their foot. But he could have got bitter. He could have taken matters into his own hands with his son. But instead, he prayed. He offered the sacrifices of righteousness. And notice what it says there in verse 5. And put your trust in the Lord. I don't know that we can say anything to make that any clearer. What are we trusting in today? Let me tell you, with this virus, if you're trusting in a mask, you're in bad shape. You're trusting in gloves, you're in bad shape. You're trusting in staying 6 feet apart, you're in bad shape. You're trusting in not more than 10 people gathering together, you're in sad shape. You better trust the Lord. And David said, offer the sacrifices, again, that involves commitment, of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. As we go through this interesting time, and that's what I've begun to refer to this virus and the panic that we see in people and the irrational way of thinking that many in office are demonstrating. You say, who are you talking to? I'm talking about anybody that doesn't fear the Lord. They fear a virus more than they fear the Lord. They're going to always think irrational. I don't care if they're independent, Republican, or Democrat, or Libertarian, or whoever they may be. If you fear a virus more than you fear the Lord, you're wrong. Amen. It's either amen or oh me. But as we go through this interesting time, if we're going to dwell in safety, we must do the exact same thing that David spoke of here. We must pray, we must offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and we must place our trust in the Lord. I'm grateful for doctors and nurses and the knowledge and wisdom God has given them. And you ought to be as well. Amen? But I'm also grateful that God can do what they miss and what they don't understand. We need to trust the Lord. Now, we've considered the cry and the commitment of David. Let me draw attention to one final thought. And I wanted to wrap it up with this thought, the calm of David. He begins crying, and he ends in a state of calmness. Notice what it says in verse 6, 7, and 8. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Notice what David said there. There were many in his day, as in days that we're living in, who were saying, who's going to show us any good? What good's going to come out of this? I was asked that question yesterday. You think anything good's going to come out of this situation we find ourselves in? I do. I think there's some churches that have been given an open door of opportunity, and I believe there are people that are considering, at least temporarily, where it is they're going to spend eternity. I believe some folks are thinking about that, but there are many people who have the idea there's nothing good going to come out of this thing. I want to tell you, David had the same issue in his day. There were many that say, who will show us any good? You need to understand something. We serve a God who's able to give us the victory. As a matter of fact, if we're saved, we've already been given the victory. We're on the winning side. Victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what David said. Notice what he asked here. Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Understand this morning, when you and I see his countenance, it helps us not to see the negative around us. When we see his countenance, it helps us not to dwell upon and gaze upon the negative. There's a lot of negative going on. I mean, we'd be a liar if we didn't say there was a lot of negative going on around us. There's negative on every hand. Now, we can either look at that and we can ponder that and we can worry about it and toss and turn at night, or we can ask the Lord to lift up the light of his countenance upon us. That's what he said. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Again, when we see him, the one who loves us, the one who left the realm of heaven, set that all aside, was born in a lowly town of Bethlehem, whose bed was a manger, whose hospital was a stable, whose parents were not wealthy at all. whose nursery the barn animals occupied. He was the stepson of a carpenter, whose back was scourged, his brow was beaten with a crown of thorns. He was mocked, he was ridiculed. He suffered like no other individual. Nails driven through his hands and feet. And we understand he did that not because he was guilty, because we're guilty. When we see that and we think of that, we have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to worry about. You see, when we see his countenance, we don't see the negative around us. We're instructed in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How can we run the race that's set before us? It's hard. It's difficult. Here's how. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let me say this morning, we can look at a virus and worry, or we can look to the victor, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rest in him. Understand this morning, we can't live a life of victory and gladness based on feeling alone. There are times we just don't feel good. There are times we don't feel joyful. There's times we don't feel glad. And there's no way we can live a life of victory and gladness based on feeling alone. There are times when faith becomes the rule of the day. We just simply trust in God, and trusting comes from knowing God and knowing His Word, and then the result of trusting God is the peace and the gladness in our heart. Do I know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, nor do you. As a matter of fact, I don't know that most of us would want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. Probably most of us wouldn't want to know what was going to happen next week. Can you imagine if we'd have known this was going to happen, this virus, last year? You think it's bad right now trying to buy toilet tissue? They couldn't plant enough trees to produce enough toilet tissue because people would have went crazy. They're already going crazy. I don't know where they're storing the stuff. They must have warehouses. People's gone crazy. I was at a business yesterday, and a bottle of hand sanitizer about that tall was selling for over $11. I said, you know, it's against the law to gouge in a state of an emergency. Our governor, that's the only thing he did right, is he declared a state of an emergency. The only emergency is found in Richmond. Amen or oh me. Over $11 for a little bottle of hand sanitizer. I said, that's price gouging. I said, that's illegal. And the individual said to me, well, people are buying it, and you're taking their money. Greed is what brought a lot of this on, and it continues in the same day in which we're living. We haven't learned our lesson at all. The love of money is the root of all evil. And people love money. That's why gas went over $5 a gallon here when our governor got on the radio a few years ago and said, we're running out of gas. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard of in my life. There's more oil in the ocean right now sitting in ships than we can process. Oil went down to a negative the other day on the stock market. I didn't find any negative prices on gasoline. They wasn't paying me to fill my car up. No, they were still charging the same amount of money they did the day before. It didn't affect the price at all. Greed. You say you worried about it? Not in the least bit. If I don't have gas, I can walk. Or I can buy me a bicycle. Probably do me a lot of good to get on a bicycle. It'd have to have training wheels on it, though. Well, they make big tricycles. I could probably ride one of them. Bicycle would kill me. I'd kill myself on. And them seats on them things are not very comfortable either. I'd rather ride a horse with a saddle than a bicycle with one of them little seats. You know? That's crazy. David said here in verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart. How can you be glad, David? You're on the run from your son. You're sleeping in a cave. You don't know what's going to happen. David said, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. David recognized the source of his gladness. It was the Lord. And the source of our gladness is the Lord. It's not your stimulus check. Can you imagine if folks get this excited about a stimulus check, how excited they'd be if they worked and earned a check every single week? I was at one of the stores here in town the other day, and I knew the stimulus checks had come in. Why? Because people's buying TVs and stereos and game systems like crazy. Well, they didn't have a TV before this happened. I mean, they got their $1,200 and they're going to town with it. By the way, understand, that's got to be paid back, and it's paid back by you and me. Unless we send China the bill, which I'm all for. Amen. Why in the world we send millions of dollars to some of these countries that'd like to wipe us out? That makes no sense to me. That's like paying a guy to bust you in the nose. I'm not going to do that. You know, too many times we think the source of our gladness are things or stuff and people we have around us. They seem to be so concerned about some of these things. But the bottom line is this, that God, it's God who brings true joy and lasting gladness and lasting peace and lasting joy to our heart and life. And with that type of gladness, by the way, that's not temporary gladness. With that kind of gladness and with that type of peace and with that type of joy, David said in verse 8, I love this verse. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Think about that. David wasn't tossing and turning. He laid down with peace in his mind and peace in his heart. He said, I'm going to go sleep. How can you do that, David? Well, he answered it in that same verse. For thy Lord only makest me dwell in safety. I'm grateful the Lord protects us. I'm grateful the Lord provides for us. There's a calm that the child of God can have, quite similar to the calm that our Savior demonstrated while he was sleeping on that boat in the midst of a storm. You realize the Lord wasn't shaken by that storm. As a matter of fact, the Lord knew that storm was coming before he even fell asleep. He knew the storm was coming before he instructed the disciples to get on the ship. Remember what we read in Philippians 4. Verses 4 through 9, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That word careful means to be worried or concerned. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God. By the way, note the order there. We pray and we enjoy the peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What's consuming our mind today? I know what's consuming the news today. I know what's consuming the newspaper today. I know what's consuming the biggest part of Facebook today. Everybody's worried. Everybody's trying to figure out what's going to happen. I read something this week that, I'll be honest with you, angered me. One of the cabinet members of our governor said, we won't be back to normal for 2 years. And I was thinking to myself, you think we're not going to meet for 2 years, you got another thing coming. It ain't going to happen. You'll be out of office in 2 years, thank the good Lord. Amen. By the way, get out and vote. When good people don't vote for good people that's running for office, bad people get in. And there's a bunch of bad people holding office today. And again, I don't care what title you ascribe to. There's bad Republicans, there's bad independents, there's bad libertarians, and there's bad Democrats. But there's some good ones. Thank the Lord for them. But get out and vote. But what are we thinking about today? What's consuming our minds? I got to ask myself that sometimes. Man, I like to watch news and I like to be informed, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes you can watch too much of that stuff. And it makes you want to punch somebody's eyeballs out. Or throat punch them. And there's a few I'd like to throat punch. You say, you ought not say that. You're the preacher. I know, I'm confessing. I got a list of them. You heard about the fellow that's in drinking establishment. I had too much to drink, and he had his little notebook out, walking around asking folks for names. He'd walk up to a fellow and say, what's your name? He'd tell him, he'd write it down. He finally come to this fellow who'd been watching him and asked him his name, and he said, I want to know something. Why you want my name? He said, I'm making me a list of names of people I'm going to whip. He picked that little guy up and he said, I just want to tell you something, buddy. You're not going to whip me. He said, I'll wear you out right now. He said, if you'll let me down, I'll take your name off my list. I got a list of some folks. It'll never happen, but I mean, we get frustrated, do we not? It's easy to get frustrated. You know why? Because we're not thinking on the things that we've been told to think on. Other things are consuming our minds. You say, what if I catch that virus? If you do, you'll either live or die. I can tell you what the outcome's going to be right now. You're either going to live or you're going to die. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm not an EMT or a paramedic. But I'm telling you this, if you catch the virus, you're either going to live or you're going to die. Now, if you live, you don't have a thing to worry about. And if you die, you're far better off anyhow. Amen. Why are you worried about it? Yeah, you say, preacher, you know. Well, quit thinking on that. These are the things we're supposed to think about. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I want to tell you, if the God of peace is with us, we don't have anything to fret. We don't have anything to be scared of. You say, what if we can't buy toilet tissue? Well, there's other things that can be done. You know, that's for the most part a modern day invention. There's a lot of folks that didn't have that growing up. Some of you shaking your head. You understand that. If you subscribe to the newspaper, there's a good use of it. Amen. Don't worry about it. I saw something the other day. Somebody took a roll of paper towels, cut it in half, made two rolls of toilet paper out of it. Why are we worried about this stuff for? When we do that, all we're doing is saying to those around us that the God of peace is not dwelling with us. Let me close. We got another service here in just a minute. David was able to lay down and sleep in peace, knowing that his God was in control and that God would provide the safety that he needed. And may we get to that place. May we think on the things we're to think of. May we pray. May we place our trust in Him. And as we do so, we can certainly enjoy the rest that we can have in Him. I'm grateful to see you today. And I'm grateful, as far as I know, you don't look like you're a nervous wreck. If you were that nervous, you'd be in here in full garb, face mask, face shield, gloves, shoe coverings. I mean, you know. By the way, I saw something the other day, how to make shoe coverings. Blow you up a balloon, set your foot on it, and let the air out, and it just covers your shoe up real good. It just molds around your shoe. That way, if you're walking in the mud, you can take the balloon off before you go in the house. Works perfect. Sorry. It works perfect. You ought to try that, Miss Elizabeth. You're in the mud all the time. Just blow up a balloon and step your foot on it and let the air out, and it just forms right around your shoe. I said, that's a good idea. A fellow from West Virginia had to invent that. Because they can't afford to buy those shoes coverings that goes over your shoes. They don't wear shoes over there. A lot of them don't. What are we worried about? David said, I'm going to lay down. I'm going to go to sleep. Oh, man. Think about that. He's not tossing and turning. He's resting in the Lord. That's where we need to be. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I'm grateful for the peace that you provide, the mercy that you give us. Lord, I'm grateful that we can rest in you. Lord, help us to pray as we should. Help us to offer sacrifices of righteousness. Help us to trust you. Help us to think on the right things. Help us not to ponder and focus on the negative, but Lord, help us to see your countenance. And Lord, I'm grateful that you've spared our folks and protected our people. And Lord, I'm grateful that there's been many that's suffered with this virus that you've allowed to recover. Many more recovered than have passed from this. And Lord, we pray for the families who've had loved ones that's passed on, and we ask that you might comfort them. And Lord, we are hearing that this thing seems to be making a turn. And Lord, may we not be so arrogant to think that it's our effort that's made this happen. I believe there have been a lot of good people praying. Lord, you've answered prayers. We're seeing this thing turn to the better now instead of the worse. Lord, I pray again you might protect our folks. Lord, help us to rest in you. And we'll thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the safety you provide. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, I appreciate much you being here today. And again, stay well. Stay safe. Don't ponder on all the negative. Amen. If you have to turn the news off, turn it off. Amen. There's sometimes I got to flip it off. I watch a lot of news. I do. I try to stay as informed as I can. I probably watch too much of it. Again, sometimes it makes me want to rip somebody's eyeballs out or throat punch somebody. But we got to think on the right things. If we don't think on the right things, it's going to skew our way of thinking. Amen. And we'll be a nervous wreck, or we'll be angry at the world. And that's not a good place to get. We need to rest in the Lord. Amen.